The Dialogue of St. Catherine of Siena, Part 32. How the truly obedient receive a hundredfold for one, and also eternal life. And what is meant by this one and this hundredfold? In them is fulfilled the saying of the sweet and amorous word, my only begotten Son, in the Gospel, when he replied to Peter's demand, Master, we have left everything for your love's sake, and have followed you. What will you give us? My truth replied, I will give you a hundredfold for one, and you shall possess eternal life. As if my truth had wished to say, You have done well, Peter, for in no other way could you follow me, and I, in this life, will give you a hundredfold for one. And what is this hundredfold, beloved daughter, besides which the apostle obtained eternal life? To what did my truth refer? To temporal substance? Properly speaking, no. Do I not, however, often cause one who gives alms to multiply in temporal goods? In return for what do I do this? In return for the gift of his own will. This is the one for which I repay him a hundredfold. What is the meaning of the number 100? 100 is a perfect number, and cannot be added to except by recommencing from the first. So charity is the most perfect of all the virtues, so perfect that no higher virtue can be attained except by recommencing at the beginning of self-knowledge, and thus increasing many hundredfold in merit. But you always necessarily arrive at the number 100. This is that hundredfold which is given to those who have given me the unit of their own will, both in general obedience and in the particular obedience of the religious life. And in addition to this 100, you also possess eternal life. For charity alone enters into eternal life, like a mistress bringing with her the fruit of all the other virtues, while they remain outside, bringing their fruit, I say, into me, the eternal life, in whom the obedient taste eternal life. It is not by faith that they taste eternal life, for they experience in its essence that which they have believed through faith, nor by hope, for they possess that for which they had hoped. And so with all the other virtues. Queen Charity alone enters and possesses me, her possessor. See, therefore, that these little ones receive a hundredfold for one, and also eternal life, for here they receive the fire of divine charity, figured by the number of 100, as has been said. And because they have received this hundredfold from me, they possess a wonderful and hearty joy, for there is no sadness in charity. But the joy of it makes the heart large and generous, not narrow or double. A soul wounded by this sweet arrow does not appear one thing in face and tongue, while her heart is different. She does not serve or act towards her neighbor with dissembling and ambition, because charity is an open book to be read by all. Wherefore, the soul who possesses charity never falls into trouble, or the affliction of sadness, or jars with obedience. It remains obedient until death. Of the perversities, miseries, and labors of the disobedient man, and of the miserable fruits which proceed from disobedience. Contrariwise, a wicked, disobedient man dwells in the ship of a religious order with so much pain to himself and others that in this life he tastes the earnest of hell. He remains always in sadness and confusion of mind, tormented by the sting of conscience, with hatred of his order and superior, insupportable to himself. What a terrible thing it is, my daughter, see one who has once taken the key of obedience of a religious order living in disobedience, to which he has made himself a slave. For of disobedience he has made his mistress, with her companion impatience, nourished by pride and his own pleasure, which pride, as has been said, issues from self-love. For him, everything is the contrary to what it would be for the obedient man. For how can this wretch be in any other state than suffering? For he is deprived of charity. He is obliged by force to incline the neck of his own will, and pride keeps it erect. All his desires are in discord with the will of the order. The order commands obedience, and he loves disobedience. The order commands voluntary poverty, and he avoids it, possessing and acquiring riches. The order commands continence and purity, and he desires lewdness. By transgressing these three vows, my daughter, a religious comes to ruin, and falls into so many miseries that his aspect is no longer that of a religious, but of an incarnate devil, as in another place I related to you at greater length. I will, however, tell you something now of their delusion, and of the fruit which they obtain by disobedience to the commendation and exhortation of obedience. This wretched man is deluded by his self-love, because the eye of his intellect is fixed, with a dead faith, on pleasing his self-will, and on things of the world. He left the world in body, but remained there in his affections, and because obedience seems wearisome to him, he wishes to disobey, in order to avoid weariness, whereby he arrives at the greatest weariness of all, for he is obliged to obey either by force or by love. And it would have been better and less wearisome to have obeyed by love than without it. Oh, how deluded he is, and no one else deceives him but himself. Wishing to please himself, he only gives himself displeasure, for the actions which he will have to do through the obedience imposed on him do not please him. He wishes to enjoy delights and make this life his eternity, but the order wishes him to be a pilgrim, and continually proves it to him. For when he is in a nice, pleasant resting place where he would like to remain for the pleasures and delights he finds there, he is transferred elsewhere, and the change gives him pain. For his will was active against his disobedience, and yet he is obliged to endure the discipline and labors of the order, and thus remains in continual torment. See, therefore, how he deludes himself. For wishing to fly pain, he, on the contrary, falls into it. For his blindness does not let him know the road of true obedience, which is a road of truth founded by the obedient Lamb, my only begotten Son, who removed pain from it, so that he walks by the road of lies, believing that he will find delight there, but finding, on the contrary, pain and bitterness. Who is his guide? Self-love, that is his own passion for disobedience. Such a man thinks, like a fool, to navigate this tempestuous sea with the strength of his own arms, trusting in his own miserable knowledge. And he will not navigate it in the arms of his order and of his superior. Such a one is indeed in the ship of the order in body, but not in mind. He has quitted it in desire, not observing the regulations or customs of the order, nor the three vows which he promised to observe at the time of his profession. He swims in the tempestuous sea, tossed to and fro by contrary winds, fastened only to the ship by his clothes, wearing the religious habit on his body, but not on his heart. Such a one is no friar, but a masquerader, a man only in appearance. His life is lower than an animal's, and he does not see that he labors more swimming with his arms than the good religious in the ship, or that he is in danger of eternal death, for if his clothes should be suddenly torn from the ship, which will happen at the moment of death, he will have no remedy. No, he does not see, for he has darkened his light with the cloud of self-love, whence has come his disobedience, which prevents him seeing his misery, wherefore he miserably deceives himself. What fruit is produced by this wretched tree? The fruit of death, because the root of his affection is planted in pride, which he has drawn from self-love. Wherefore everything that issues from this root, flowers, leaves, and fruit, is corrupt, and the three boughs of this tree, which are obedience, poverty, and continence, which spring from the foot of the tree, that is, his affections are corrupted. The leaves produced by this tree, which are his words, are so corrupt that they would be out of place in the mouth of a ribald secular. And if he have to preach my doctrine, he does so in polished terms, not simply, as one who should feed souls with the seed of my word, but with eloquent language. Look at the stinking flowers of this tree, which are his diverse and various thoughts, which he voluntarily welcomes with delight and pleasure, not flying the occasions of them, but rather seeking them in order to be able to accomplish a sinful act, the which is the fruit which kills him, depriving him of the light of grace, and giving him eternal death. And what stench comes from this fruit, sprung from the flowers of the tree? The stench of disobedience. For in the secret of his heart, he wishes to examine and judge unfaithfully his superior's will. A stench of impurity, for he takes delight in many foul conversations, wretchedly tempting his penitence. Wretch that you are, do you not see that under the color of devotion you conceal a troop of children? This comes from your disobedience. You have not chosen the virtues for your children, as does the truly obedient religious. You strive to deceive your superior when you see that he denies you something which your perverse will desires, using the leaves of smooth or rough words, speaking irreverently and reproving him. You cannot endure your brother, not even the smallest word or reproof which he may make to you. But in such a case, you immediately bring forth the poisoned fruit of anger and hatred against him, judging that to be done to your hurt, which was done for your good, and thus taking scandal, your soul and body living in pain. Why has your brother displeased you? Because you live for your own sensual pleasure. You fly your cell as if it were a prison, for you have abandoned the cell of self-knowledge, and thus fallen into disobedience. Wherefore, you cannot remain in your material cell. You will not appear in the refectory against your will, whilst you have anything to spend. When you have nothing left, necessity takes you there. Therefore, the obedient have done well, who have chosen to observe their vow of poverty, so that they have nothing to spend, and therefore are not led away from the sweet table of the refectory, where obedience nourishes both body and soul in peace and quiet. The obedient religious does not think of laying a table, or of providing food for himself like this wretched man, to whose taste it is painful to eat in the refectory, wherefore he avoids it. He is always the last to enter the choir, and the first to leave it. With his lips he approaches me, with his heart he is far from me. He gladly escapes from the chapter house when he can, through fear of penance. When he is obliged to be there, he is covered with shame and confusion for the faults which he felt no shame to commit. What is the cause of this? Disobedience. He does not watch in prayer. And not only does he omit mental prayer, but even the divine office to which he is obliged. He has no fraternal charity, because he loves no one but himself, and that not with a reasonable, but with a bestial love. So great are the evils which fall upon the disobedient. So many are the fruits of sorrow which he produces, that your tongue could not relate them. O disobedience! which deprives the soul of the light of obedience, destroying peace and giving war. Disobedience destroys life and gives death, drawing the religious out of the ship of the observance of his order to drown him in the sea, making him swim in the strength of his own arms and not repose on those of the order. Disobedience clothes him with every misery, causes him to die of hunger, taking away from him the food of the merit of obedience. It gives him continual bitterness, depriving him of every sweetness and good, causing him to dwell with every evil in life. It gives him the earnest of cruel torments to endure. And if he does not amend before his clothes are loosened from the ship at death, disobedience will lead the soul to eternal damnation, together with the devils who fell from heaven because they rebelled against me. In the same way have you, O disobedient man, having rebelled against obedience and cast from you the key which would have opened the door of heaven, opened instead the door of hell with the key of disobedience.